Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here, Election Day, Tuesday, November 2nd, 2021. 18 minutes past the hour. I wonder how many people out there right now are listening from their cars as they are pulling away from their polling booths this morning as they have voted in the 2021 general election. This election is an interesting one for me because it really focuses on the city of Marion. There really is no presidential election to talk of, no really big state issues to talk of. It really all does come down to the city today. We have all city council seats up for grabs except one. We have the city treasurer is up for re-election. We have a Marion City Schools levy, which is very important to the Marion City Schools. It's a renewal levy. And we also have the first consolidated fire levy. So it's going to be a big day. And people will vote all the way up until, I believe, 7:30 or when the polls close here in Marion. Now, I wonder this year how many people voted early. Last year, because of the pandemic, that was a very big thing, and there were just a ton of people who had voted early. Did anybody go out and vote early this year? Has that become the new way of doing it, or do people still go out today on Election Day and vote? I still go out on Election Day and vote. Do want to remind you that tonight we will be on the air, Decision 2021. I believe this is our eighth year in doing election coverage on this station, seventh or eighth year. And that will start at 7:15, 15 minutes before the polls close. We will come up live on the air tonight, and we will not leave the air until all of the local elections are called. So we will start at 7:15, and here in the studio, I'll be in the studio with Mary Ellen Withrow, 40th Treasurer of the United States. We will have Sean Kraft here, and we will have Angie Evers here. Glenn Coble will be at Democratic headquarters. Terry Tackett will be at Republican headquarters, and Linda Sims will be down at the Board of Elections. And we also have some special call-ins tonight from people who are involved in local politics and state politics, and I believe we might even have some people stopping by the studio tonight who are involved in the political atmosphere here in Marion. So it's going to be a big night, election coverage starting at 7:15 p.m. And I really do still like local election coverage on the radio because that's how it's always been in Marion. We have had television stations over the years, but really they didn't have the capabilities to run live, or they really didn't run live on election night. So radio has really always been the way to get live election results. Because in the old days, before a newspaper, before internet, the newspaper had to wait until the next day to publish the results. And still, the newspaper has to rely on the internet. So you really can't hear people talking about what's going on if you're paying attention to the newspaper. You have to listen to a station. And that's why when we started doing election coverage here, we decided never to break away. Because you don't really know what's coming. You don't know when you're going to get a batch of results. You don't know when somebody's going to drop out of the race, or there's going to be a bit of news on a race. You don't really know. And a lot of people don't know every issue, especially when it comes to local elections. People don't go through with a fine-tooth comb every election. So hopefully over that period tonight, we'll be able to bring you up to date on a lot of what's going on in local elections. So that will all kick off tonight at 7:15. And if nothing else, I do hope you have gotten out or do get out and vote. That is a very, very important thing. Now, on Tuesday mornings, we usually visit with Marion Public Health Commissioner Tracy Kinsler, but Tracy got called away to a meeting this morning, so we will pick that back up next week. Do want to let you know that the barometer is continuing to change here in the studio. The barometer now is at 29.9. We are very close to going from the change area to the fair area. If we go over 30, we will be in the fair area. And this is very interesting to me because since we got the barometer, I think 2 weeks ago now, it has never left the change area. This is as close as we have ever gotten out of the change area. 29, this might be 29.0. So one more tick to the right and we will be in the fair area. Now what this also means is that there is no precipitation on the way, allegedly, because when the barometer falls or gets closer to the rain area, that means we've got precipitation on the way, and we are in the exact opposite direction at this point, pointed toward the fair area. So apparently it's going to be fair weather and cold for a while here in Marion. Now, before we get to anything else, I do want to do this silly, and it's becoming silly, the Geraldo Journal. I wonder if he's got big election coverage today. So we're just going to update this very quickly and then move on to something else because there are far more interesting things to talk about on election day than Geraldo and his lack of etiquette in responding to people's messages. All right, so let's get to 11-2-21. And it's the same old entry, did not hear from Geraldo. And I'm just going to note in here, because that's what you do in a journal, it's election day, 2021. So that's the Geraldo Journal entry today, and we'll throw that to the side. Now, what else did we want to talk about this morning? Well, I wanted to talk about yesterday on this show. I want to thank everybody who participated in the big Arthur Treacher conversation yesterday. And those really are the type of conversations I like to have on this show, but, and we've done those over the years. We did them when it regarded Marion restaurants. We've done that one for quite a while. And have done that a few times. But there was more than one way to do that program. We talked about the old Isley shops and the LK or LNK shops that were around Marion. We talked about roller rinks one time on the air. We talked about old pharmacies and things that used to be in downtown Marion. We talked about that. So we've talked about a lot of things from old-time Marion. And I was trying to think of a subject or an area that would be interesting to talk about. And I was trying also to remember if we got all the Arthur Treacher questions answered yesterday. We did find out that Arthur Treacher's, when it was in Marion, used to be located where Taco Bell is now on Delaware Avenue. I think it was 1270 Delaware Avenue was the address. We also talked about the big picture of Arthur Treacher that used to hang in the lobby of Arthur Treacher's. We don't know where that is. Probably in a dumpster somewhere many years ago when Arthur Treacher's went out of business. And we talked about the bologna sandwiches that they used to serve. They were known, of course, for their fish and chips, but they also sold a lot of bologna sandwiches over the years. So it was fun going back and reminiscing about Arthur Treacher's and all the things they did. All right, 740-383-9944, the phone lines are open. Now this morning, I was trying to think of some things that we have not talked about. Now when it comes to restaurants in Marion, we spend a lot of time talking about L&K and the Isley shops. But there have been a lot of other restaurants here in Marion that certainly did not get a whole lot of attention, much like Arthur Treacher's, which we talked about yesterday. But does anybody remember the Dutch Pantry that was here in Marion for years and years and years? Dutch Pantry was a very popular restaurant. I think it preceded Bob Evans here in Marion. I think it preceded Denny's here in Marion. It was really one of the early restaurant chains that came here to Marion that really had no ties to Marion. Now, I barely remember Dutch Pantry. So, my question this morning is, does anybody remember where Dutch Pantry was located? Now, I do. I even think we've had this as a trivia question from time to time. And there are still Dutch Pantries across the country. There are a couple, I believe, that are still in Pennsylvania. Does anybody remember where Dutch Pantry was when it was located, where it was, when it was located here in Marion? And what was Dutch Pantry famous for? What would you go in there and eat if you were going to a Dutch Pantry? That's one of the questions this morning. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And I also wanted to talk about some of the businesses that were up on North Main Street. Mainly Doubles Restaurant, which was a locally owned restaurant, but they had very big beef patty hamburgers and very affordable chicken sandwiches. And Doubles did a great business for quite a while, and I believe it was owned by the Nicolosi family, I think. I might be wrong about that, but I believe it was owned by the Nicolosi family. Then we had Smith Cardinal, which was owned by the late Bob Smith. And then we had the Big Banana, which was the answer to a trivia question not too long ago. But does anybody have any remembrances of those places? The Big Banana, Smith Cardinal, Doubles there on the corner of North Main Street. They were all kind of there in a line. Or Dutch Pantry, which I'm not going to tell you where the location was yet until somebody calls in and tells me where it was. Does anybody remember where Dutch Pantry was? 740-383-9944. Or is there any other place that you would like to talk about? Is there any other thing in Marion that sparks a memory in your mind as a place where a lot of people went and a lot of people enjoyed and maybe is no longer here, or maybe is still here? There aren't too many that are still here, but that's the way it goes, I guess. You know what I've always wondered, and I know it's not there anymore, but it was there for a long, long time. The Shovel Restaurant down on Center Street, way down on Center Street. Did that have any connection to the Marion Power Shovel? See, I don't know the story behind that. Now, they've went out of business because of a tax issue, I believe, but I don't know what the connection was. Go ahead, caller.
Wasn't Dutch Pantry where Toyota Shoe Mart is now?
Where it is, and actually still in the same building.
Yes.
Yeah, they never tore down the building when they put Toyota in there. Now, do you remember going to Dutch Pantry?
Yeah, and it seems to me like it was a breakfast place. But I don't remember going very many times. But I have a question for you. What's the history of the White Swan?
Oh, White Swan. You know, I'm not sure.
It's been there forever and ever and ever. And I didn't know if anybody had any information of, like, how long ago that, you know, how long it's been there. And I think it's always been as my mom used to say, a beer joint.
Yeah.
So, but I was just curious about that.
Yeah, well, we'll see if anybody knows anything.
Okay.
Hey, thanks
talk
for calling.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, Dutch Pantry, and I think we've had that as a trivia question before, is where Toyota Shoe Mart is where Toyota Shoe Mart is now? Yeah, same building. And that's why Toyota Shoe Mart looks like that. That really was the design of a Dutch Pantry restaurant. Now, I really can't remember if it was primarily a breakfast place or not. I know they did have big breakfast items. They, from what I remember, they kind of reminded me of a Bob Evans or a Perkins or a Denny's, which seemed to rely more on breakfast than any other meal of the day. But they do serve other things. And that is kind of what I think Dutch Pantry was, but I don't really remember. I think they were open all day, so they probably had to serve other things. But any remembrances of Dutch Pantry or Smith Cardinal, the Big Banana, which was up on North Main Street, or Double's Restaurant, which was there on the corner of Main and Fairground. And we also had a caller call in this morning, just a few minutes ago, wants to know about the White Swan. Been there forever. Now, honestly, I don't even think I've ever been inside the doors of this place. But does anybody know anything about the White Swan? And I'll tell you another interesting one in Marion, and sadly it burned down a few years ago, was the Scotch and Sirloin. Now, it used to be that if you were going to have an upscale dinner, you would go to the Scotch and Sirloin. That's where you would go. And that was a very, very, very popular place, but I think they had special hours that they were open, and they used to do a lot of parties out at the Scotch and Sirloin. And then one of these, what was the business that moved in there? There was a business that moved in there, and then while that business was in there, unfortunately, the place burned down, and I don't think there's been anything more of that since that happened. What was that business that moved in there after Scotch and Sirloin had left? It was one of these breweries, I think. Can't remember the name of that. But does anybody have any memories of the old Scotch and Sirloin? And there also used to be an ice cream place out there. I think it was down Route 4. I think the building is still there. Oh, and I do want to let people know, I passed by the spot where Del Taco is going to be next to Perkins yesterday to check on the work on the building. And all they have is the front of the building up. And it's not even the front of the building. It's just like the, what would you call it? It's the infrastructure of the front of the building. You wouldn't be able to tell what's anything or what's coming. So that construction is moving kind of slow for what a fast food place usually moves, but maybe they've had troubles there. It's hard to tell. And we'll see what happens when they open up. I just don't know how Del Taco will do being three or four doors down from Taco Bell. And also, El Campesino has a restaurant on that road, as well as Mi Jalapeno, which is right across the street. There is quite a proliferation of Mexican-themed restaurants in Marion. I mean, you look out at Route 95, and you've got Mi Jalapeno in the plaza. You've got El Campesino out in the Kohl's Plaza. You've got Taco Bell, which has always been there along Mount Vernon Avenue. You've got another El Campesino out here on the south end of town. And now they're going to put in this Del Taco. Plus, you've got Victor's Tacos up on North Main Street. So I don't know how that's all going to work out. And incidentally, Victor's Tacos is where Doubles used to be. Does anybody have any memories of the old Doubles restaurant or Big Banana or Smith Cardinal or the Scotch and Sirloin or the Dutch Pantry or any of these places or anything else on your mind that would strike a memory for you? A place where maybe you ate. 740-383-9944. You know, another interesting place in Marion was right up the road here from where we are now, and I don't think there is a restaurant in there now, but it was Something Good Restaurant. It used to be in the parking lot of Baldoff Lumber, and then it became the Colonial House, and I'm not sure what happened to it. Does anybody know what happened to that bunch of restaurants there? Good morning.
Morning, Chop.
Hey, Ernie, how you doing?
Good.
Good.
You know, where the Brown House used to be. That was actually it was called the Scotch and Sirloin Party House, you know, because the real Scotch and Sirloin was there where El Capucino is now.
Is that right?
Yes, that's where it started, and you know, it. I'm not sure if it was the same time that the party house, you know, that building burned down is when they just left, you know, and sold that to El Capucino.
Now, did this, if I remember right, did the Scotch and Sirloin, they only had certain hours that they were open?
Well, not the real El Capucino, the party house did. But that was strictly, I think, used for a party house and not for just general, you know, in-and-out business.
Well, it's interesting because I remember of that era, 80s and 90s, that when people would come to Marion and you would want to take them out to dinner to a kind of a spiffy upper-class place, that seemed to be the place that people would go.
Yeah, well, it first started when the Brown House, that was, at that time, was probably one of the nicer restaurants, you know, in Marion.
Now, do you remember primarily what they served out there at the Scotch and Sirloin?
Oh, about what they say, Scotch and Sirloin.
Yeah, it was more, you could get a drink, I think.
That was their big business, was, you know, a noon lunch and a drink.
Yeah, do you remember the place that was in there when it burned down?
No, I don't.
I can't remember it either. I know it was the people who owned To Die For Cupcakes.
Okay.
And it was a brewery of sort of...
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, that's too bad. That was a nice place, you know?
Beautiful building.
Yeah, that was an old barn at one time.
Yeah, well, was it?
Yes.
An old barn out there. My goodness. Well, it certainly is interesting. Well, it's good to hear from you. Thanks, Ernie.
Sure, Scott.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, telephone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Ernie Brees, one of our longtime callers, and I always say Ernie knows a lot about what used to happen here in Marion, and we need those people out there because as time goes on, there are fewer and fewer of them, and a lot of people have a hard time remembering what went on. You know, I remember the Scotch and Sirloin. I remember a lot of people going to the Scotch and Sirloin. But as far as what they served and what exactly they were, it's hard for me to remember exactly what that was all about. So, talking about Scotch and Sirloin, the old Scotch and Sirloin here this morning, talking about the old Dutch Pantry restaurant here in Marion, Double's Restaurant up on North Main, Smith Cardinal, Big Banana, the Big Banana, which was right next to Smith Cardinal there. And, you know, if there's anything anybody has to say left over from the conversation regarding Arthur Treacher's yesterday, feel free to call in 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, I was trying to think of some of the places that were on Delaware Avenue, when Delaware Avenue was really booming as a hub of commerce, when the mall was going big. Go ahead, caller.
How about on North Main Street, Humpty Dumpty? Now, wasn't that owned by the Nicolosi's? Didn't Mike Nicolosi own that?
Now, I thought he did. Now, where was Humpty Dumpty's at?
Well, it's a VFW or something up there now. I mean, it was quite a ways out on North Main Street.
Yeah. Now, wasn't it kind of a hamburger place as well?
Yeah. And I think they kind of specialized in chicken, fried chicken.
Well, what I remember about, not Humpty Dumpty's, but what I remember about Doubles, and I think I heard this story, is that Mike had turned it over to his son, and then I believe his son died somehow.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of went by the wayside, but I remember Doubles being very busy.
Yeah. And then another thing down there, we were talking where the restaurant burned. I think it maybe belongs to that cat sanctuary down there, and they have it, they've like cleaned up the woods, and they've got, I think, maybe where you could have weddings in there and so forth. So it's pretty nice back in there, but it's right there beside of where the cat sanctuary is, which is just like two doors down from Dollar General on 423.
Oh, isn't that it? You know, did anybody ever hear any more about the fire that took down the Scotch and Sirloin?
Well, there was a lot of scuttlebutt about it in the beginning, but I don't have heard anything, so I don't know. But I do know that I don't know if the cat sanctuary uses that as a money-making thing to help promote and take care of their cat sanctuary.
Well, that's interesting. Well, hey, thanks for the information.
Okay, bye-bye.
And again, phone lines are open. Remember, if the phone's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else, so keep on calling in. I'm not sure who would own that land now down there by where the Scotch and Sirloin used to be. Could be the cat sanctuary. And that fire that took it down, which was just a few years ago, not very long at all, it was a big, big fire, and it had happened after everybody had left that night. And I remember there was an investigation into what caused that to happen, because there was a police car. Was it a police or a county sheriff's car? Something like that. That was sitting down there in the parking lot for the longest time after the building burned down. So I really don't know what happened with that. I don't think we ever really heard. I would guess nothing major, or we would have heard something. But that was a very interesting thing. Go ahead, caller.
What was the name of the restaurant out on North Main Street that the elephant ran through?
Oh, you know, that was the, I think, Red Apple.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. All right, thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Now, this has been a story that has went down in Marion history for years and years. Now, see, and I'm, this is before my time, so I'm not really sure what the specifics are on this, but there used to be a restaurant out across from WMRN, I guess is where it was, called the Red Apple. I believe it was the Red Apple, the Big Apple or the Red Apple, and it was not, you know, the biggest restaurant in the world. From the people who went in there, it's my understanding it was kind of a little dumpy place, maybe. But there apparently, and you know what, I've tried to research this on the Marion Stars website, and I can't really find anything about it. So I really don't know if this is true or not, but apparently a circus train was coming through Marion out there on the train tracks out on North Main Street, and I guess the train overturned or something like that, and an elephant got loose, and the elephant went over and apparently destroyed the Red Apple restaurant. Now, here's where this story gets confusing, is a lot of people say the elephant was killed and then buried somewhere out there. I don't think that's true, to be honest with you. I've never seen any information that proved that. And also, when you research that, you find out on the property of the Red Apple restaurant, there was also like a boarding house where people used to stay. Now, there was some story about the elephant tearing up the boarding house, and I don't think they ever rebuilt the boarding house, but I don't know if it tore up the restaurant, and I don't even know if the restaurant was still in business when this elephant got loose. But this elephant story has gone on and on and on for years and years and years, and I really don't know if we've ever got the full truth on the elephant story. I think it's been passed down by generations, because at this point, this whole elephant thing probably would have happened in the late 40s, 50s, somewhere in that neck of the woods, but you really can't find a whole lot on it. And I'm not really sure what did happen there. Does anybody know, or has anybody heard a story from an eyewitness at that time, what happened with the Red Apple, Big Apple restaurant out on North Main Street, and the elephant train that overturned? I don't believe there is any elephant buried anywhere out there in Marion. First of all, I'm not exactly sure that that would be legal to do that. And my guess is that the circus that was coming through town probably would have taken the elephant with it for whatever reason. Although I don't know how you'd move a dead elephant. And I'm not even sure why the elephant was killed, to be honest. I don't really know what happened. The elephant went nuts, apparently. And I'm not sure if police officers shot it or if people from the circus shot it to try to stop it. I don't know what happened. I don't know how it didn't do more damage, and I don't know how it ended up at the old Red Apple, but I think the restaurant was already closed by that point. Does anybody have any memories of the old Red Apple? Now, you'd have to be pretty far along in age now to remember the Red Apple restaurant or this incident with the elephant. But you could be alive. You still could be alive, because I know this incident with the elephant happened after the radio station opened up, and the radio station opened up in 1940, so it had to be after 1940. So it's not prehistoric times. I don't know. I really don't know what the true story is with that. Does anybody? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. The long ballyhooed story here in Marion about the Red Apple restaurant, the Red Apple boarding house, and the elephant that got loose. 740-383-9944. But that has been a story passed on for years and years and years. I'll tell you another question I wanted to ask. Does anybody know anything about Mrs. Kerr and her boarding house? Now, Mrs. Kerr's boarding house was over here on Bain Avenue. And it's my understanding is that Mrs. Kerr was a widow. She was widowed rather young in her life. So she turned her house into a boarding house. And a lot of people ended up living in Mrs. Kerr's boarding house. Now, the reason this became a very popular thing is because her daughter, I think her daughter's name was Mary Ellen or Mary Ann Kerr. It was something like that. And her daughter became the health inspector or health commissioner here in Marion, and apparently did that job for a very, very long time. Now, does anybody know, or did anybody ever come in contact with Mrs. Kerr and her boarding house over here on Bain Avenue? Or, I think her name was Mary Ellen Kerr. Mary Ellen Kerr was the daughter of Mrs. Kerr, who lived in the boarding house with her mother for many years, and then she became the health inspector, health general, health commissioner, whatever they call it, here in Marion, and I think she did that up until the early 1990s. Did anybody ever have any contact with those people, the Kerr family, and this boarding house? 740-383-9944. And this boarding house of Mrs. Kerr's became rather famous years after it was open, because it used to board a lot of the radio station announcers who didn't have money to get apartments or houses of their own, and one of those people was said to be Rod Serling. So Rod Serling lived in Mrs. Kerr's boarding house when he was here in town. Twilight Zone Rod Serling. So does anybody have anything to say about that? 740-383-9944. Talking about the elephant and the Red Apple restaurant or Mrs. Kerr's boarding house, Dutch Pantry, the Scotch and Sirloin, Doubles Restaurant, Smith Cardinal. We didn't hear anything about the restaurant up here that's closed. It was something good for many, many years. And then it became the Colonial House, and I don't think it's open. I don't think it's been open for quite some time down here, behind Nichols Furniture. Does anybody have any memories or thoughts or ideas on what happened there? 740-383-9944. I was trying to think of another bit of Marion history, kind of like the elephant and the Red Apple restaurant, that has been out there for years and years and years, and we really don't know exactly what the truth of it is. There are several of those things. But do we ever end up really knowing what happened? Probably not. It's just one of those folklore-ish type of things. You know, when the east side of town was developing, does anybody remember what some of the restaurants were on the east side of town when they first started to kind of flourish out there? Trying to think of some of the early places that would have been out there. Well, I think the LK or the LNK would have been out there. And later on, the Isley's shop appeared out there. But it didn't used to extend as far as it extends now. 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, another popular restaurant was Lee's Steakhouse there on Route 4.
What's that?
Lee's Steakhouse.
Lee's Steakhouse.
Down there where, beside Jerry's Nightclub, where it used to be Jerry's Nightclub.
Is that, now what, was that just basically primarily a steakhouse?
Yeah, they sold steak and you could get shrimp and lobster and, you know, things like that. But that was in business for years and was always a good, you know, did a good business.
Now, what eventually happened to it?
I'm not sure. I think it was sold, and then Cal Lamb owned it for years. That was the old Trotters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah.
You know, what was it was kind of considered the upscale college kid bar that was out on Route 4. This is kind of in recent times. What was that place? I don't know if it's in business anymore.
Out there on Route 4.
Yeah.
Talking about McKaylee's?
McKaylee's. That used to be a very hot spot. And then all of a sudden it seemed like it was just gone overnight.
You know, I guess a lot of cops hung out there too.
Well, it was a very popular place because it seemed like it had a very young clientele.
Yeah. But it wasn't a nightclub style, you know, restaurant. It was a, you know, bar.
Well, the few times I was in there, I remember, the odd thing I remember about it was they had this area that was basically all plastic tables and plastic chairs, like lawn furniture. And that seemed to be where they would hold all their dancing and all of their, when they would bring a band in, they would hold it in that area.
Yeah, that was there for years, too. It did good business.
It did, and then all of a sudden it was gone, and I have no idea what happened. I don't know if there was an incident there with the police that caused that. I really don't know.
Yeah, and the old Doubles, I miss the old Doubles.
Doubles was very popular, but the story I always heard is that Mr. Nicolosi's son, something happened to him.
Yeah, he had a car accident.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
And died, and I think he mainly started it for his boy. And then after his boy died, I think he lost interest in it and, you know, just got rid of it. But, you know, Doubles was really similar to Rowley's. You know, they had the season fries back in the day and stuff too, but Doubles was 10 times better.
Well, I remember what people used to like about that place was the price.
Yeah, the price, and, you know, you got a good burger. You know, pretty good-sized burger, and their burgers were fresh.
Well, they also, I remember, it was chicken sandwiches. They were one of the first places, and maybe they even did this before McDonald's, where you could get a breaded chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
And they were very inexpensive.
But, you know, they cook the burgers all through the day. And you got a fresh burger.
And you also got lettuce and tomato.
Right.
All that on your burger.
But, you know, they're similar to Rowley's. But, see, Rowley's, they take 2 hours out of the day, and they cook the burgers up, and then they put them in a steamer and hold them. You know, I don't do Rowley's because, you know, when a hamburger patty is, you know, a few hours old, You know, it doesn't taste like it does when it's fresh.
Well, that's true. I guess I've never really thought too much about it. I don't go to rallies that often, though. It's just not on the side of town where I'm located, so I don't end up going there very often.
But just the way, you know, they control costs and are able to sell at a discount price, but to me, I'd rather go to McDonald's or someplace and get a burger that's cooked up fresh, not a burger that was cooked 6 hours ago.
Yeah. Well, it's a good memory of Marion history. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Yep.
All right, 740-383-9944. Remember, if the lines are ringing busy, it just means we're on the line with somebody else. So keep on calling in. Here we are, Election Day 2021, 58 minutes past the hour, talking about some of the old spots here in Marion. You know, Henny and Cooper was here for so long, in downtown Marion, but you don't hear a whole lot of people talking about that anymore. I don't know if it's because it outlasted a lot of the other places downtown, but Henny and Cooper was there for a long time. Go ahead, caller.
How about the smorgasbord at the plaza?
Very popular place.
That was, and you know, I don't even know who I heard it from, but one day the people that worked there went in to go to work, and a sign was on the door. They were closed.
Is it? Well, you know, a lot of restaurants do that, unfortunately, because they're afraid if they tell the employees that they'll all quit.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that was quite a place. There was a lot of people came to Marion just to go to the smorgasbord. It seated a lot of people in there.
Well, you know what's funny? To this day, I will hear people refer to a buffet as a smorgasbord.
Yeah.
And I don't know that, I'm not even sure what the word smorgasbord actually means.
No, I don't know either. And as far as McKaylee's down there, they had a fire.
Oh, did they have a fire?
Yeah, they had a fire, and I don't know if it was in the apartment upstairs or what, but anyway, after the fire, they never reopened. And there's action around down there, whoever owns it. And I thought I seen where the one side, what used to be the patio, that they had changed, moved that to a storage where you could, you know, for a storage unit. And I don't know that for a fact, but I do know that that's what happened after the fire is when the place closed up.
The fire did them in too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a shame. Wait, thanks for the information.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, apparently now we know McKaylee's was done in by a fire. And the Scotch and Sirloin was done in by a fire, although it was not the Scotch and Sirloin when it caught on fire. So that really didn't put an end to that. But boy, the smorgasbord was something that people did love. It was a buffet. It was a local buffet. It was a huge building. It's where Mi Jalapeno is now. But I think Mi Jalapeno only has half the building of what the original smorgasbord was. And they were known for their bread pudding. And I couldn't even tell you the last time I saw bread pudding on the menu of any restaurant. Anybody have any memories of the old smorgasbord or Dutch Pantry or Doubles Restaurant up on North Main or Smith Cardinal or the Scotch and Sirloin or White Swan? Apparently nobody's ever been in the White Swan. I guess it's just been open all these years, but nobody really ever goes in there. Maybe the case. The Elephant and the Red Apple Restaurant up on North Main Street, which that story's been around for years and years and years. What else is around in those areas? The Humpty Dumpty Restaurant, which was there on North Main Street. You know, I don't know what year, as you go a little further down North Main Street, where McDonald's is and all that, I'm not sure when that area really started to develop. I think probably when McDonald's opened up, which I think was in the 60s, probably, in that area. I'm pretty sure that was the first McDonald's in Marion on North Main Street. Interesting how North Main Street was really a hub of commerce and has maintained itself as a hub of commerce all these years later. Anybody have any thoughts on any of these places? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Dutch Pantry, out on Route 95. Does anybody remember any of the restaurants that were big out on Delaware Avenue when that first started to come alive, when the mall was put up out there? I know there used to be all kinds of restaurants up and down the road there. You had Wendy's, and you had Burger King, and you had KFC, and you had Arthur Treacher's, and you had Godfather's Pizza, and you had Pizza Hut, which was a sit-down at that point, and you had McDonald's, and you had, what were some of the other ones that were out on? Oh, you had Ponderosa. Ponderosa was out there on Delaware Avenue. You had, the Scotch and Sirloin, which was out there. Just a lot of places out on Delaware Avenue in those days that were pretty busy. You had the Cervex Center. I believe there were a restaurant or two in that area. You had Arby's, which was out there. Am I leaving out any? 740-383-9944. I always forget the one that was down the road, almost down this way, close to the towers. I believe it became a Chinese place at one point, but before the Chinese place, it was kind of a pancake type of house. You know, the only thing I remember about that, I remember eating there occasionally. It was essentially a breakfast place, but when you would drive by, the windows were all yellow. Now, I don't know if the windows were yellow or if the lighting scheme inside was yellow. It's on the tip of my tongue what that place was called. What was it called? I always forget the name of this place. Was it Rick's or something like that? I don't know why that name does not stick in my mind. Does anybody know it real quick here before we go to break? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Boy, I hope somebody knows it here. Go ahead, caller.
Are you talking about Ross's restaurant?
Ross's. I knew it began with an R.
Yeah, that was a big restaurant.
Now, didn't it become a Chinese place?
You know, I've heard many people talk about it, but I never ate Chinese. I even heard one point it was a Big Boy's.
You know, that I don't know. I know the Big Boy's. Yeah, I know the Big Boy's out on 95, but I don't know if Ross's became a Big Boy. I thought it became, what's that,
Didn't Charlie or someone say it was a chain?
Yeah, I think it was, and Mark Pies, was it Mark Pies?
I couldn't tell you.
It might have been, I don't know. We're going to break, we'll have to think about it.
My favorite restaurant was Rack's, by the way.
Oh, Rack's. Rack's Roast Beef.
Where Tim Hortons is.
I love
the buffet.
Remember it well. Hey, thank you.
All right, Scott. Bye-bye.
Yep, Rack's Roast Beef. There's another one. All right, going to break. Coming back in about 10 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
The media and Adam the Computer Guy are a proud supporter of WWGH Radio, offering remote and on-site